reading is in Matthew 6, and beginning
at the first verse. Hear the word of God. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory, that they have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they have long to pray. They have long loved to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I meant really to go to the end of verse 4. I come to another section. Now, first of all, I must remind you each time, you cannot climb this mount, although it's called a mount. I reckon it's a bit of a range of mountains, without having first been to the Hill of Calvary. It's a lovely Welsh poem. If I can just give you the idea of it, it's not a long poem, it's one of those short things. And it says, there was a general assembly of the mountains of the world. And the highest mountains said, look at my size, how big and broad I am. Another one said, look how rugged and craggy I am. And another said, see how beautiful and shapely I am. And the others said, look how interesting I am, and how much interesting things are to be found within me as well. And then they have a competition, which is the greatest. And there's a little hill, cries out, called Calvary, which reaches higher than them all. It's actually, in Welsh, it's very beautifully put. A little hill that rises higher than any mountain in the whole of the world or anywhere. Now, the Hill of Calvary is a place where we come to be forgiven. And you feel like I do so much if it's forgiven. I'm probably, well, I am the older, I'm not sure, near it here tonight. And as I get nearer in this autumn of life, I'm more conscious of sin now than I was. It's a strange thing, isn't it? When I was first saved, I was conscious of the forgiveness of sins, of course. But they seem to loom so large now, whereas there were little tiny bumps before. Now, did I do that? Did I think like that? And you see it more ugly. And the reason is, I just wonder why the revival people used to pray so much about their sin, then they'd rise to the heights of Calvary and the forgiveness of sins, and also to the heights of the holiness of God. And you get captured as well as your consciousness of sin, also the beauty and the holiness of God. They seem to be opposites. They are in a way, but there are two things that will come clearer and clearer to our understanding and appreciation. Now, at Calvary, it is there Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. We are given faith to believe. We're given grace to repent. They're big steps. Many people have said to me, I've never repented, and I'm all right. And it's very difficult to disillusion people sometimes. Repentance can take many forms. Some will weep openly. Some do not. I don't show my feelings much, and there are many people like me. But within your heart, you know, I fall short of the glory of God. And that really is repentance, you know, to know in your heart. There may be tears, there may be not, you know, that is really just symptomatic of a more important thing. And turning to God. But in so doing, we are also given faith to believe in Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary for our sins. And there we trust him that he paid the punishment in full. That's a very remarkable thing. And to think the way to glory is safe, to know that we shall be received. Now, I heard an interesting thing regarding one of the confessions of a very big denomination. I'll not name denominations because I know that this is relayed. It has so many articles, and one of them is on salvation. That salvation is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then it ends there. It doesn't talk about the implications of salvation, that you are saved and that's it. You know, and then they forget what we call the regulative principle. In the Bible, we can do, if you stuck to what the Bible only says, you couldn't get on a bus, could you? If you say like this, well, the Bible doesn't forbid it, therefore I can do it. That is wrong as well. So what did the Reformed Fathers do? It's what the Bible says and what can be reasonably and spiritually and honestly deduced from the Bible. And that is the Reformed position. So there is, when we have salvation, then we have to look and see what are the implications. What can we do? What can we not do? And we find the Bible leads us, and where we feel, well, I'm not sure, then you can say, I reasonably deduce. For example, Sunday schools. At one time, there's a big debate whether there should be Sunday schools or not, because they are not mentioned in the Bible. But it can be reasonably and honestly be deduced that we have a place to speak to little children, you know. So it's that kind of thing I mean. So as you're within the sphere of the honesty and the beauty and the spirituality of the Bible. Now in chapter 6, we come to a difficult one now, because this is maybe the heart of what we are. What we are before God. Whether we just want to be pious, like the Pharisees were. They were very, very good people, but they let you know it. And they would boast, we don't do that, you do. We do this, you do, you don't. And it made what they didn't do and what they did obnoxious, because they did what this chapter here forbids. Now, do we live to our own glory, or do we live to the glory of God? Now, nevertheless, we should be concerned about living in the ways of God. I don't know if you remember a lovely book that was written by Isabel Kuhn. When I was a young man, they were very much in vogue at that time. And she had terminal cancer, and she had a year to live. And her husband said to her, you have a gift for writing. Why don't you use it in writing a few books? And she did. And one in particular, we just have thousands, maybe more people, I don't know, a large number. It's called By Searching. By Searching. And how she searched the Lord and found him. And how she had to explain to her family. Then the next one was In the Arena. Now, then, that's a very, very excellent title. Because, first of all, it brings to your mind that title. The Christians, that when they were martyred and persecuted and tortured in these sports stadiums, the arenas, they were in the arena. I observed, did they die well? Did they die gloriously? And often they went singing to their deaths when they were in the arena. And she said, quite rightly, we as Christians are always in the arena. There's a crowd, but it has a double decker. I'm saying that. The first deck is of those who are jeering and mocking and laughing and doing anything that's insulting. And the others are looking on, wondering, why are they willing to die? Why are they willing to give up these things? Why? And they half long. And these are people who may be touched by their example. And so they said, the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. So in the arena, now if you follow this mount and you're climbing it, it's a very steep mountain and it's getting steeper. And also I say we are observed. What's it like? It says in the scriptures, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's lovely, isn't it? Of course there are good works. I'll explain that in a moment. That they may glorify, not glorify you. It says, you're a good man. Oh, no. Hasn't he a wonderful God, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven? Now then, we honor God and honor the gospel, and we're aware of the presence of God. Our lives are not to be a performance. They're lives of spiritual obedience to the ways of God. The issue here is the very heart of our spiritual life. Acts of charity, being kind, being generous, and giving. Now, that is a very, it's a very commendable thing, because we know what charity means now. There are so many charities, and we know what we mean. They're acts of love to those who are in need. Now, the Bible has something to say about, not these organizations, I mean, you know, at all, but about charity and acts of love. And you might say, well, that's a Christian. Was there ever such a generous person? Was there ever such a kind person? And he says, well, yes, I don't like to boast, but maybe I'm very kind, you know, and well, I've got enough and I don't mind. By the way, I did help so-and-so as well. Not that I want to say anything. He's ruined it. It's no longer an act of grace. It is glorifying self. Look at me. Look how good I am. Now, we revel in it. That's the problem. We revel in it. Now, let's look at this. The reign of self. The Christian, when he's not submitting to God's grace, and there are plenty of them, not submitting to God's grace, he's still hanging on, or she's still hanging on, to old ways. You know, we can have a person who's genuinely Christian, but they're still hanging on to much of their past life. And they can make excuses for it. They can, you know. Well, I don't know why, and so on and so on. They'll argue. But they're forgetting that there is grace. The world would probably agree with them, but the having to face God, facing the world, is nothing as facing God. Now, then, in Colossians 3, verse 9, you have, lie not to one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, remember that verse now. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation or creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, there's your link again. Lie not on one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now then, we put off the old man. What does this mean? And we go to Romans, and this is explains it even further. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be henceforth, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'll read that again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, when we are converted, what has really happened to us? Well, all what we were, all that we are really, is nailed to the cross with him. And in a sense, like I quoted from Muller the other week, we died. We died to the old life. We died to the old desires. We died to the old ways. Now then, there's, if I may put it like this, there's the new man. What about the old man? Is the old man completely dead? Yes, now there was a teaching, an erroneous one, but a very acceptable one. People found an excuse. They said, well, I've got the old man in me and I've got the new man in me, and I had a bad day today, the old man won. And they laughed it off. It was a very bad teaching, I felt. They're wrong to say that. And many people hide behind that. Well, I can't help it, the old man in me. How can I help it? It's the old man in me. And the new man had a bad time today. The old man is dead. The new man battles with the flesh. Is as low as that. Battles with the flesh and the desires of the flesh, not with the old man. The old man is crucified. no longer lives. The new creature, the new one, battles with the flesh. So there's our battleground. Now, I hope that's clear now. It's a very useful teaching. Milroy Jones said it was one of the most useful teachings that he ever had in the New Testament, was his knowledge that the old man is dead and the new man is growing in grace, but still has a fight on, not with the old man, that would be an excuse, and it's wrong, but with the flesh, and desires that there be victory after victory over the flesh and the lust of his desires. Now then, our old ways die hard, I recognize. It calls for our generous cooperation that we might go on this walk of righteousness, this climb of righteousness with our Lord. Now, this area, now look at it, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them, Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It's quite a hard verse. Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, that's quite serious, isn't it? No reward of your Father which is in heaven. And that one should clear in our minds. Now then, we are being observed. Therefore, what he's saying really is that it's not of works, as any man should boast. Now, this works business can be quite a problem. Let me put it very clearly to you. Verses in Ephesians, where it says, by grace I say through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Then after you become a man of grace, works come back, but on a different level. Listen to the verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I give you a picture. In heaven there, God ordained our salvation and a life of good works. That is what is ordained. But there we are. We are sinful by nature, and we come to that place where we see that the good works we are doing, and however commendable, are what we call dead works. Dead works, and receive no reward. Then we come to that place, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Then we come then to the forgiveness of sins and peace with God. Now he says, get on with it. With what? The same commandments. But those condemned me before, yes, but now they are your guidelines. Well, how can I do them? I couldn't before. This time, I am with you. Now, do you see the difference between dead works, which are in our own strength and pride and stupidity, and good works, which are by the grace of God and the strength of God and to the glory of God? Now, that's the kind of area we're in now. So, living as a Christian to the glory of God. Take heed, a warning in this area. Self so easily creeps in. It's an awful one. It's so very, very easy. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. You know, it's so very, very easy. It is to please myself rather than to please God. Like a child says, look at me. Aren't I a good boy? Aren't I a good girl? Look at me. It's childish. It's childish. And he says, I do not expect you to be like that. But you grow up spiritually, and I will give you the grace. So if you overcome a sin, you don't say, look how I overcame that sin. And God will say, you did not. I gave you the grace to do so. So there's no boasting on your part. So be silent. Let people see that you overcome. And let them give God the glory that you overcame. Do you see the difference? They seem so close, but they are so far from one another. We always want to seek approval. This cruel self, as one hymn is, this cruel self, how many forms it takes of seeming verity. This cruel self, how many forms of seeming verity it takes. How many different ways self can come in, the flesh can come in, and say, come on, fair play, you did do well. You did give a lot of your time. You were kind. And you want people to know. Why shouldn't they know? You were good. You did give a lot. You were very helpful. And it's only right that you have some credit. There you are back again. No rewards. No rewards. You have not understood. Any good we do is by the grace of God. So we never say, the kind thing we often say, well, I've done enough in that place. You know, I've been a Sunday school 20 years, Sunday school teacher 20 years now. I'm not doing any more. Somebody else's turn now. Is wanting people to know, see how good I've been. See how sacrificial I've been. Is the same thing. That awful struggle of self, the flesh, creeping in. And the new man saying, no, I will not go that way. Whatever happens, I will serve God and give him the glory, and I will be silent about it. If anybody says anything to me, I will say, yes, but God gave me grace. Always give the glory to God. Not as the hypocrites. It means actor. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Now, it's a very sensitive area, because you see, apart from the gospel, these people were very good men. I don't think they lied. I don't think they committed adultery. I don't think they did any of those things. They were very moral, high moral standards. They're very generous in their giving. They tithed and they gave and they fasted. Indeed, they did much more than Christians often do, and very commendable. But they let you know. They let you know. And they like to be seen of men. Now, rather than praying in secret, they would praise three corners. People say, oh, look how he prays, or how she prays, and so on. To be seen of men. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. Don't sound a trumpet before, as the hypocrites, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. It is attractive to have the praise of men. It is attractive. And it will take all sorts of seeming forms of verity to creep in and try and persuade the new man to be tarnished. The hypocrites were actors, and for all their efforts, and they spent all their lives studying the law. It's all their lives keeping their law, the law. And after that, equals zero. Absolutely zero. Equals nothing. It's exactly the same. You can have a person might say, I'm a great evangelical. I know all the doctrines. I know this, that, and the other. And I'm always there. And if I go through all the things, equals zero. Absolute zero. We have not understood that we cannot do anything of ourselves because of what we are. The motive must not be the glory of man, but rather, or the approval of men, but rather to the glory of God. But when, says verse 3, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, that may be a strange kind of illustration, because the hands really are servants, aren't they? You know, they're servants of the same person. Now, then what he's saying is not really separating the two hands in a way, but he's saying, I want you to be so as severe as this with yourself. Even your left hand doesn't know what your right hand does. That is, he's emphasizing the size that you don't. This little hand saying, look how good I've been, or this is, I'm better than you. So that he's emphasizing by a very simple illustration, don't be like that. Let us go to that extreme, he said. that you do not know what your left or your right hand do. That's how we should live. That thine alms may be done in secret. That thine alms may be done in secret with modesty, with quietness and obedience. What does the Lord require of the young man? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, the reward of God. By grace, I say, through faith, that on yourselves is a gift of God. We are totally forgiven. Remember, that's quite clear now. We are totally forgiven. Now, they might say, well, and there's a big problem from that. In fact, Paul picked it up, and people said, oh, very well. Let us sin more, that we might have more grace then. Let us sin more and more again. That we might have more and more grace. That would be great fun. Paul said, God forbid. Don't make a mockery of the gospel. God forbid. Now then, let us assume that such a person speaking like that is a Christian. Doubtful. But let us assume that they're a Christian. Now then, will they get off? They say, yes, my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And Christ has fulfilled the law in my place. And there's a big emphasis now, especially in New Covenant theology. I'm free. Christian freedom. Now, it's different between freedom, you know, and they mean Christian license. Well, listen to this. I was a long time before I could preach on this verse. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now then, I do not know if there's a big separation between the day of judgment, different in time, I don't know, because you're entering the realm of timelessness, aren't you? Above the clouds of time. So to say, well, same time as a day of judgment or separate, is ridiculous to go into it, really, because we cannot. The day of judgment is a definite event where those who are saved go to heaven and those who are not go to hell. But for those who go to heaven, he said, well, just one moment. You had grace to believe. You had grace to live. But you didn't do so well. You didn't do so well. Now, we stand now. Now, look, for we must all, he's speaking to Christians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body, in the flesh, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, is that mentioned again? Yes, it is. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it goes into more detail. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is, we are saved on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He makes that quite plain before Paul here enlarges upon it. He is the author of both of these passages. Now, in verse 12 of chapter 3 of the 1 Corinthians, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. All right? So, what are we building? Am I adding gold? Am I adding silver? Am I adding precious stones? Am I adding wood? Am I adding hay? Am I adding stubble? Then he goes on, every man's work shall be made manifest, that's before the whole of heaven. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It will be declared, because he shall be revealed, because it shall be revealed by fire. I say, why now? And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's the illustration here. So let's the man who's been building, say, gold. We try the fire and it survives. Silver, we're not talking about money, remember. We're talking about a Christian life. And the silver survives. Precious stones, it survives. The wood, it does not survive. The hay, it does not survive. And the stubble does not survive. Now then, what happens then? Well, it shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now then, people speculate on the reward. I think it's useless to speculate. We're all equally happy in heaven, but nevertheless in some mysterious reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. All right? He shall suffer loss. Not the loss of heaven. Not the loss of heaven. He shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, it is by fire. He'll make it. He'll just make it. But he'll be answerable, and there will be a dealing with him. All right? So, although we are in grace, we are very responsible. So we cannot say, oh, well, I'm going to keep to this and not to that. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. We submit to God. That's why you should know our Bibles well, should read them carefully, not to be seen in. You have, you go back to the where we were now, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven, which is a passage in Matthew. Verily I say to you, they have the reward as the Pharisees. Now then, from there, the Father seeth in secret, that's lovely, shall reward thee openly. So, if you're building gold, silver, or precious stones, all those are representative only of an obedient life. And you keep it quiet. You do not boast. You do not seek the praise of men. And the Father seeth in secret, but he'll reward you openly. I don't know what that will be. I cannot tell, but he will do it. So we do not want the disapproval of God as Christian people. You know, it is the approval of God that we want, and to live to the glory of God. In a way, the judgment seat of Christ is a great incentive. Let me show you a heresy that arose, one of the many hundreds. One that says this, I'm saved. And then they go back to their old sin, and they're lost, and they're saved again. I know one man was saved 6 times, and he was baptized 6 times. All right? I doubt if you're saved the first place, I don't know. But what we're saying is this, you see, it leads to that. Oh, well, I'll start again. I'll tear the page out, and I'll start again. No, you do not do that. You are fallen, but you are a new creature, but you will be answerable. And nevertheless, if there is repentance now and changing our ways now, it is approved in the sight of God. So it is a very good guideline. You know, it's so very easy. There has been so many teachings, especially on sinless perfectionism. There's another one that came out, you know. It was a denomination, actually. And they believe once you are saved, you are perfect. Well, we are perfect in Christ, quite true. But then, if they failed, they were lost, and then they were saved again. Can you see how it can lead to error? So we say, well, all right, we do fail as Christians, but we must remember we are also, although in the judgment they can say the terrors of law and the terrors of God and the law with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. Is that true? Absolutely true. At the same time, I cannot walk as I like. I cannot do as I like. I am answerable to my Master and God, to my Lord and my Savior. I will never be lost. I'll never be lost. But I wouldn't like to be amongst those who just make it, you know, but rather well in the approval of God. It's a very difficult one. Self creeps in boasting about what I do and what I don't do, and you don't and you do, and so on. It's self, and it means equals zero. Just zero. But if we are doing things quietly, without drawing attention to ourselves, we glorify our Father which is in heaven, and we shall receive our reward. I'll finish there.